I'm sitting here with Shane Sklar, candidate for the 14th Congressional District. We talked once before at the Democratic Convention in Fort Worth. Give me an update. How has the campaign gone since Fort Worth?
It has picked up. You know, it's nice when I can call and talk to whether it's somebody I'm trying to raise money from or just interested people in Texas politics, and they know who I am before I start talking. So I'm excited to see that our name is getting out there a little bit more. People are starting to pay attention to this race. You know, I guess for a large part of these folks, they kind of view the 14th as, well, you know, Ron doesn't help us and he doesn't hurt us. But now when we've got an opportunity to pick up another seat here in Texas from the Democratic point of view and a chance to have somebody effective from the business-minded people in the 14th District, that they're happy to have a viable alternative.
You talk about picking up another seat. Obviously, the 22nd is looking pretty good for the Democrats right now. You know, how do you see the recent events in that race affecting your race, if at all?
I think it'll have a big impact on our race. I believe that we've got, you know, a district that is very competitive here, definitely still Republican-leaning, but Nick Lampson is in very good shape, let's say, and I think that maybe he can help guide me, educate me on some things that I need to do in my district, and hopefully, you know, that we do share three counties in this deal, and it behooves both of us to be running for re-election next cycle together, where we can put that united front for Democrats in a presidential year, which could or, you know, may not be tough for us, depending on what the circumstances look like. But, you know, here recently, we've had tougher times in these presidential years. So I think it's a great opportunity for me to learn from his expertise and move forward.
Okay. You have a background in agriculture. How does that shape your campaign?
Well, it... Now, our district is very diverse. Obviously, we have this Galveston and Fort Bend component, very urban, not a whole lot of rural components there. But then you have Victoria, Wharton, Jackson, Matagorda, a ton of rural components that make up that southwestern part of my district. And, of course, that is my background. I believe that trying to help the people throughout this district understand how important agriculture is to them, whether they live and breathe it every day like I have, is not the issue here. But helping them understand that if they have a congressman that's involved in agriculture and that can be that voice for them, maybe it's an issue like country of origin labeling, which I was instrumental in, and they've got a chance to choose what product they're buying at the grocery store because of that. At least on the fish and shrimp end, we haven't implemented the beef and chicken and the rest of those guys, but trying to bring it to their everyday life experiences is what I need to do, and help them to see the importance of having a congressman that can maybe be on the ag committee as well as something, say, like small business, which is another big part of this district.
Right. I mean, right now, Texas doesn't have a congressman who has a background in agriculture. I mean,
right.
After Larry Combest retired and Charlie Stenham was defeated, I mean, how do you find that affects the people who, you know, farm and ranch for a living when they don't have that kind of representation in Congress?
You know, that's probably the key for me winning this race, because especially in the ranching end, I wouldn't generalize all our farmers as Republicans, but they're probably more ranchers that classify themselves as Republicans. Governor Briscoe had sent out a letter a while back on my behalf to 3,000 ranchers in this district saying that we need Shane Sklar in Congress. No other member of the Texas delegation makes a living from agriculture. The ag groups that I have supporting me may not always jump out there and be the first guy to support a Democrat. But in this end, they've come on, they've been strong supporters. I've had people in the agriculture community just, you know, come up to me in a public setting and write a check and say, we need you in Congress. Because the way they see it is the rural areas, they don't expect us to dominate what goes on in Washington, D.C., but they'd like to see somebody that has lived in a small town, grew up on a farm, and takes that practical knowledge of how these things work to Washington, rather than somebody just pays them lip service.
And, you know, Ron Paul, obviously, with his beliefs about how government operates, he's not doing much for the farmers and ranchers.
He doesn't help at all on that end. You know, just like he does with most appropriation bills, always votes against the agri-probes. And also on the farm bill, I don't know when the last time he's ever voted for a farm bill. And I heard one of his staff people say recently that he would vote against the next farm bill. We don't even know what's going to be in that farm bill. And he's already said that he would vote against it. So obviously their interests are not his. And there's also many other things that are in your agriculture appropriations budgets too, whether it's your school lunch programs, your welfare programs, all those things that are encompassed in there that he's voting against every time.
Well, and then there's the issue of alternate fuels, biodiesel, wind farming. You just wrote about that to some extent for me on my blog. That talk,
yes,
a little bit more about it.
Well, you know, I think that we're in a situation in our country where we have to pursue these alternative fuel sources. We cannot continue this route that we're on, being dependent on foreign sources of energy. And I'm not naive enough to believe that we're going to change this all in a day, but unless we make some real moves towards biodiesel, ethanol, we're never going to get there. And so, you know, if we can provide an incentive of some sort to help people, entrepreneurs, take on these initiatives and reduce our dependence, I think that's a terrific thing. And, you know, I've seen some statements coming out from my opponent since I've been so outspoken on this issue that they don't believe that, you know, there should be, it's free market, whatever happens, happens. We can't necessarily wait around. If we continue to wait, we will definitely be consumed by our dependence on foreign sources of energy. And so being proactive about this, we have farmers that are going out of business because they can't make it today. They're not going to get rich off this deal. But you know what? They can stay in business. We can be more self-sufficient here at home. And by the way, I think that's one of the best things we can do for homeland security here in this country is start to become more self-sufficient. And what better way than with energy? And coming from a state like Texas, which was a pioneer in the oil and gas business, I think that we should be a pioneer when it comes to biodiesel and ethanol.
Okay. In that answer, you talked about Ron Paul's attitude, of course, that he doesn't believe the government has a role in this. I mean, he has represented rural counties previously in the prior configuration of CD14, and the impression that I at least always got was that folks out there kind of liked his, you know, cut the government down, leave me alone philosophy. Do you think that's no longer the case? Do you think that, I mean, what and how has that changed?
I think it's the national dynamics help us out a little bit too, because I believe that the trends that are going on nationally help me in this election cycle, probably more than it did, obviously more than it did back in 2000 when Loy Sneary, who is a friend of mine, was running from Matagorda County. And Loy had an ag background, but he was also the county judge over there. I think from my end, when I was executive director of the Independent Cattlemen's Association, I represented a lot of these areas on agriculture issues. So I kind of cut into that a little bit. My family has been in the Jackson, Victoria counties for, you know, four generations now. So I've got, I can't necessarily get all the no government at all guys to come on board with me, but I believe I cut into it maybe more than it ever has before. And plus the district, losing some of those rural counties further out into central Texas, which may be less dependent on, say, farm programs than the district we have configured today. You had more ranching areas, and if you remember a minute ago, I said that they were more Republican, more than your farmers were. And so I think that's part of the reason we're able to penetrate a little bit more than before. And then also, they've seen over time that Ron Paul's ineffectiveness is starting to hurt the area. And those folks that say no government don't quite like the fact that no government dollars are coming back into this district at all. They're starting to see that as a tax increase rather than somebody being a taxpayer's best friend, because their local governments and their state governments are having to make up the bill when Ron Paul is not doing his job to bring those federal dollars back to the 14th Congressional District.
You know, we're in the middle of hurricane season now, and one of the more controversial things Ron Paul did last year was vote against a bill for relief to Hurricane Katrina. And then, of course, Hurricane Rita came in. Let's talk a little bit about hurricane preparedness and hurricane, shall we say, relief. Mm-hmm. How is that affecting the district, and what are you doing about it?
Well, my contact with our local officials has been to try and of course, I have more ability to do this as a congressman, and it's what I hope to do, is to have better coordination and cooperation amongst all levels of government that you have that are working in those times of crisis. I saw my volunteer work after Rita in Chambers County, where my wife is from, that I thought the county government folks were doing a real good job, but there wasn't a whole lot of call from the congressman's office. Didn't have anybody really around there trying to assist for the most part. And FEMA was a disaster in itself because nobody, even on the county level, could help them to do their work, even though they offered to be of assistance to them, because we had this red tape system that was set up there. In a crisis time, you don't need to have an abundant amount of restrictions preventing these folks from working together to try to accomplish a common good for the people that are without electricity, don't have water. These are tough times, and you need as much coordination as you can. Obviously, we have to make sure, which we haven't in the past, to make sure these dollars are spent wisely. So keeping a check on that, but yet giving leaders an opportunity to lead and take care of their communities. And I think you're naive to believe today that when you have a disaster, the magnitude of Katrina or Rita, if it went head-on into Houston, to our port area there, that you don't need federal assistance to get that area up and going again and being a productive part of the economy, because Houston, let's face it, it fuels this country and part of the world with the economic impact that we have there in the Port of Houston and everything that takes place in that region. And so saying that, no, we're not going to provide any government money to speed the process up, to get things back on track, to get this country moving again, I think is very naive, and it's a very 19th century ideal that you had on your blog here not too long ago as far as an approach to government. I'm not for giving handouts left and right, but hand ups and trying to get people back on their feet and making this country go, I think that's very important, and that's where our philosophies differ.
Okay. Social Security. Ron Paul said in the Washington Post recently that we didn't have any poverty before Social Security was implemented. What do you say about that?
I think this explains how far out of touch Ron Paul is, but he knows the truth. He knows that most of the people in the district are not going to read that Washington Post article. And that's why we just got his frank piece of mail that came out from his congressional office, the last one he can get out before you're in that 90-day window for the campaign, and they can't do that anymore. And he talked about, Senior Citizens Protection Act and what he was doing to protect Social Security. Even though he is philosophically opposed to the program, and when it comes to Medicare, wouldn't take Medicare patients as a doctor, has told other local doctors that they should do the same. That's his answer for tackling these problems. Even though that this is his philosophy, it's not what he puts in print, because he knows that is not politically popular. It's not what people like. But he will go ahead and he will hedge a little bit, hoping they won't dig into it, and they're going to be happy getting their birthday card and their cookbook from Ron Paul's campaign that they will overlook these things. And unfortunately, too many people have for too long. And hopefully that with him having been in there for this decade now, people are starting to wise up to that, and we're going to be, of course, waving our flag, making sure people know. But these are important to American people. Doesn't matter where they live, and Ron Paul is philosophically opposed to that. And I'd just like to touch on another thing he's philosophically opposed to and has stated on the record is government money for medical research. My goodness, we have UTMB in Galveston, and he has publicly stated that he opposes government money for medical research. Unbelievable. unbelievable. The jobs that pertain to that, our families that depend on the work that they do at places like UT and being Galveston. I've lost one grandfather to Alzheimer's. I have another one that's dying of it in a nursing home today. And it's somebody like Ron Paul that stands in the way of a cure. And that's a shame.
All right. Going forward, what does the future hold for your campaign? Where do you go from here? And, you know, what's your path to victory?
Well, you know, it's a busy time we're entering upon, and we've got, you know, we've done decent on fundraising. We've probably, aside from the Lampson threshold, the bar that nobody can achieve getting to where he is, you know, we've done well amongst the rest of our challenger friends here in the state of Texas. And I'm happy about that. Proud of our success, but we've got a long ways to go. We spent a lot of time doing some grassroots stuff over the summer trying to create the awareness of our campaign. And so hopefully now I'll spend some time raising money from organizations and individuals alike and probably outside of the district some, because you know, we are in a rural area. You don't necessarily have a lot of people with deep pockets that can help us financially. But those in Texas, especially our Democrats that want us to take at least two, maybe some more seats back in order for us to have that majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. So we're going to go reach out to those individuals and tell them about our campaign. But then we also have the guys that are on my campaign team with all the roles. We're making the phone calls. We're going to be putting out the signs. And everybody has a tough role, long days and nights ahead, and we need the people that are out here that live in this region to help us as much as they can. Because at the end of the day, we will be outspent, but we will have enough to run the race and run it good. We just need their volunteer help, making those phone calls, doing the block walking, and I think that we will have everything we need to. Fortunately for us, this is not 2000 when you have a bunch of Texans going out to support Bush. It's a different day. I think, if anything, we have people that are voting Democrat just because they're tired of what's going on right now. So we have to take advantage of that and utilize that to our best of ability. And you're going to see me at every little church picnic and Rotary Club function you can possibly see go on from now to November.
Do you expect to get any help from the national organizations, the DCCC, anybody like that?
We'll receive support from national agricultural organizations and unions. They've been very good to me in this campaign and believe I can win. We tell them the story about the local Democrats that we have here in the 14th District. We have 5 out of 10 county judges that are Democrat. Most of our elected officials in these counties are Democrats. So we're not trying to convince people to vote Democrat for the first time again. We are asking them to extend that vote to the national level, which they haven't done quite as much. But you know, let's be honest. When it comes to the DCCC, I think that they are in constant contact with our campaign. They're watching what goes on, but we're running it not expecting to get their help. If they do at the end, so be it. That's great. But it's not figured into any of my budgeting or anything like that. We're going to continue running the race that we've set out this entire time. If that comes along to help us at the end, oh, that's great. That's gravy. But our organizations that believe in me and know this district, they're going to be key to helping us win in November. And I understand that the party, you know, they look at Texas, and we're not the one that they think that they've got to go out and help at first. They look at some races, say, in the Northeast or in the West Coast that may have the same political numbers that I have, but they're in more traditionally Democratic areas. And I understand that. I don't fault them for that at all. Hopefully, at the end of the day, when things are going the direction that we're pretty positive they are, that they will kick in a little bit and help.
All right. Thank you very much. Shane Sklar, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles.
Good luck with the campaign.
Appreciate it.